Good morning and welcome to you all. It is amazing to have you all here with us for this, our third Sunday in Advent. And you are sitting in distinguished pews. These are pews which have been filled with children and parents throughout the week, as we have had various school services and assemblies, with the latest of which happening on Friday, where I believe that the Little Oaks came in and completely took over the place. You should have seen it Thursday evening. There was chairs, there was props, there were signs, and everywhere had an individual label for an individual child who had specific roles in the nativity, even if that meant being shepherd number five. So thank you for joining in with us at the end of this week, as we continue our journey towards Christmas. One of the things that I've been saying as the children have been in here is, has anyone got an Advent calendar at home? Has anyone got an Advent calendar? I have one. I haven't had my chocolate yet this morning. But I have been talking about our Advent candles being the church's Advent calendar as we journey through this season in the anticipation of Christmas. So far, we have lit two candles for Sundays in Advent, and today we come to the third Sunday. And I wonder if you can do as well or better than the children at guessing what our third candle might represent. There we go. We've got John the Baptist as a good answer. There's also other associations, because I was looking this up online and there's about five different things it could be. So I want to see if you can get a hat trick of three. You've got John the Baptist as a great answer. What other things can this candle represent for us? Joy. Joy is the other great answer. I was expecting these two. John the Baptist and joy. There's one last one, which I don't think you're likely to guess, but go for it. Hope. No, not hope. Hope is for one of the other weeks, but there is another scheme of several different things they can all represent. And I'm looking around at a lot of blank faces.
Light.
Light is what candles are all representing. No, so the other, so there's different schemes you can have. You can have hope, joy, hope, peace, joy, and faith. Or you can have the patriarchs, the prophets, John the Baptist, and then we'll see who comes next week. And then you can also have candles which represent different figures in the nativity scene. And today's figure is the shepherds. So you learn something new every week. So what we're going to do is going to light our candle for John the Baptist, the proper answer, and who indeed will be a big feature in our readings today. And then we will say a prayer before we stand and sing our first hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you for people coming into this space to explore the Christmas story together, week by week. We ask that your Holy Spirit will be with us as we praise and worship you this morning. Open our hearts to hear from your word, that we might be encouraged by the God who knows us and loves us. And this day, let us be inspired by the example of John the Baptist, who always points towards Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our first hymn, which is number 28, as we are gathered, Jesus is here. And we'll sing this a couple of times through.
Jesus is here. Come, we adore. Jesus is here.
is here, one with each other, Jesus is here. We meet together in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Together we say, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our collect for this, the third Sunday of Advent. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And so we listen to our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning to read at verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Having heard from the Old Testament and the New Testament, which both point towards Jesus Christ, let us sing our next hymn, number 410, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Christ.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all may believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please sit down. Once upon a time, an unscrupulous painter wandered into a little village. He found a quaint little church, painted white with a thatched roof, and in dire need of painting. He offered his services. The folks could hardly believe his rates. All he wanted was the price of the paint with a free room and board. They agreed, of course, and hastily prepared living quarters for him in the basement of the church. In addition, they promised to bring him hot meals morning, noon, and night. What's more, they paid him in advance for the paint. He started the next day. In 2 weeks he was finished, and the little church looked as good as new. The people were so pleased, they gave him a big going away party and a nice bonus as well. In less than a month, there came a huge downpour. The winds blew, the rains fell, and by next morning, there was a milky white film on the ground all round the little church. When the members got there, their hearts sank. They guessed the paint had been mixed with water. They asked the vicar what could be done. With great presence of mind, he replied, "Repaint, repaint, and thin no more." John the Baptist was popular, very popular. He was Israel's first prophet in 300 years, and people flocked to hear him. He lived in the wilderness in the desert, in a place where there were many snakes but few people, in a place you could die if you got lost between the water holes And still people came. They came in droves to hear John preach. Repent, he cried. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And they repented. And they were baptized. And they returned to the city feeling clean and pure. Sometimes for the first time in many years. But then King Herod killed him. He killed John. He didn't want to be, but he respected him. But John criticized Herod for taking his brother's wife. And Herod, while he hated, and Herod's wife hated John. She and her daughter conspired to trick Herod. After the daughter had performed a cute little striptease, Herod said, "Anything you want, up to half my kingdom." And the daughter said, "I want John's head." Herod was trapped. He didn't want to back down in front of his guests, so he served up John's head on a platter. But still, John was popular even after his death. 20 or 30 years later, in the book of Acts, Paul came across disciples of John who'd never even heard of Jesus. There were pockets of John's disciples around for decades. That just shows how popular John was, even after his death. John tried to put himself in the right place with regard to Jesus. We see in our gospel lesson today, the scripture says of John that he was not the light, but was sent that he might testify about the light. When priests and Levites asked John who he was, he told them who he wasn't. He said, "I am not the Christ." Obviously, someone thought that he was the Messiah, and he was trying to kill the idea as dead as a doornail. "Who are you?" "I am not the Christ." "Not." Did you get that? "Not the Messiah." They asked him if he was Elijah, and he said no. They asked if he was the prophet, and he said no. "Well then, who are you?" "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." That's my job. That's my mission. That's my purpose in life. The Lord is coming, and my job is to get people ready for him. He called the people to repent, to confess their sins, and to be baptized. When Jesus came, he would add to what John had done. Jesus would add the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then things would really happen. Jesus, helped by Spirit-gifted people, would change the world. If John could tell us who he is by saying who he was not, perhaps we could use this for describing Jesus. Firstly, we will say that Jesus was not a great teacher. Many people will argue that Jesus was not the Son of God, but he was a great teacher. I think it was C.S. Lewis who pointed out the folly of such logic. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Jesus was not just a human being. None of us are virgin born. The people who live with him day by day came to the conclusion that he was not just another human being. Peter blurted out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." They realized he was not just human. He was not the expected Messiah. He was not the Messiah people expected. The Bible goes to great lengths to make that point. They expected a military Jesus who would overthrow the Roman government. But Jesus was not that Messiah. They expected a Messiah who would re-establish Israel in the greatness of David the king. But Jesus was not that Messiah. He was not the expected Messiah. Instead, he was the suffering servant, the servant Christ. We might go on to describe people of our faith. Christians are not afraid. Christians are not alone. Christians are not without faith. Christians are not without hope. Christians are not without love. Christians are not lost. Christians are not condemned. Something to discuss at coffee. To return to the reading from today's gospel, it occurred to me as I read the story that we, the church, need to be doing exactly what John was doing. We need to be testifying to the light, pointing to Jesus, making sure that people see Jesus. We need to make straight the way of the Lord. We need to prepare people to know Jesus. We need to call people to repent, to be baptized, and to confess their sins. That is our mission. We, the church, are always tempted to forget that. We're tempted to get involved with other things and to push Jesus off on one side. We're tempted to put second things first and first things second, because the church's secondary things are also important. Feeding the hungry is important, and the church does a lot of that. Housing the homeless is important, and the church does a lot of that too. Building schools where schools are needed is important, and the church does a lot of that. Promoting racial harmony is important, and the church does a lot of that too. But that is not one of our secondary tasks. Sorry, that is one of our secondary tasks. Promoting racial harmony. Sometimes we, the church, forget that our first task is to witness to God, Christ. When the church becomes primarily a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter or a counselling or a place to meet nice people or a concert hall or a rummage sale or anything else, it starts to die. Our first task is to witness to Christ. When we fail to do that, Christ lets us wither on the vine. In the last few decades, mainland churches have lost millions of members. A few years ago, Hadaway and Rusen did a careful study of growing and declining churches. They concluded, to grow and to continue growing, it is necessary for each mainstream church to become a vital religious institution, vibrant with the presence of God. It must develop a clear religious identity, a compelling religious purpose, and a coherent sense of direction that arises from that purpose. We might say that mainline churches have declined over the past few decades because we took our eye off the ball. We put second things first and first things second. We need to recover our sense of mission. Now, here's the tricky part. One of the ways that we witness to Christ is to meet the needs of vulnerable people. When we do those things, we show forth Christ's love and we bear witness to Christ. We must continue to do that, but we must always remember that our first task is to witness to Christ through word and sacrament, through preaching, Eucharist, and baptism. If we do this, Christ will bless us and will make it possible for us to do other things as well. If we fail to witness to Christ, we will die. The phrase "bright morning star" came to my mind as I was doing this sermon, because I knew somehow it was speaking of Jesus, the brightest star in the heavens. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star." When we look at the east about 5 o'clock in the morning, if it's a bright morning, this star dominates the sky. It's the planet Venus. While the stars are tiny flecks of light, the morning star is like the landing light of a great airliner, a brilliant diamond in a black field surrounded by flecks of diamond dust. Jesus says, "I am the bright morning star." He is the brightest light in the sky. He is the center of everything that we do as the church. If we turn our backs on Jesus, the sky grows dark. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about all things that we worry about: what we will eat, or what we will drink, or what we will wear. Then he talks about God providing all these things, even for the birds of the air. And he assures us that we're more important to God than the birds. He tells us not to worry and concludes by saying, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In the church, we sometimes worry about 1,000 things, all the way from feeding the hungry down to the colour of the carpet. Let us, for the sake of Christ's kingdom, keep focused on the big thing, our witness to Christ through word and sacrament, trusting that God will make it possible for us to do everything else he wants us to do. Word and sacrament. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church at this Advent time, we thank you for hearing our prayers. A prayer for light in our world and our community. At this time of Advent, we recall John the Baptist announcing the first coming of Christ. We pray that the shining light of Jesus and his teachings will replace the darkness of war and conflict in our world. We pray that others in our own local communities of Penn and Tyler's Green may see through us and our benefice the light of your love and good works as made known to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
A prayer for peace on earth and for our own faith. We pray for peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. We pray for resilience in our faith, in the confidence that God will provide in times of adversity. We reflect on St. Paul and his message to the Thessalonians, that we should always be joyful and never stop praying, and always be thankful that we belong to Jesus, and be ready, standing up for what is good and staying away from anything that is evil. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
A prayer for world leaders, especially our own. We pray once more for our world leaders at this Advent time, that they will use their immense power to do good and not harm, and to collaborate in solving and not creating wars, famine, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. We pray for the end of all brutal wars in Ukraine and Gaza, and the threats of new global conflicts, and the end of famines in Africa and other countries. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
A prayer for others known to us and others not known to us. We pray for those in our church and our community at this Christmas time who are unwell or convalescing. We pray for those who are suffering from physical and mental illness, loneliness, or grief, or facing new challenges. Help us to reassure them that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with our responses to their difficulties. In the name of Jesus. We pray for those on our notice sheet. Joyce Veacock, Edwina and Arshak Sakassian, Oliver Heal, Amanda Ricketts, Joe and Tim Oliver and their sons Charlie and Nico, the family and friends of Marjorie Barber, the family and friends of Peter Sachs. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Finally, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank you and praise you for the many blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. May the Holy Spirit keep us united with our own families and loved ones at Christmas time. Inspire us to share our Christian love and message with others in our church and in our community of Penn and Tyler's Green, so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son. Our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen. David has encouraged us to witness to Christ. So I invite you to stand and join with me in saying the words of the Creed as we witness to all that he has done for us. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen,
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Would you please be seated? Just to share one or two notices before we move on. First, this evening you are all very warmly invited to join us for our Lessons and Carols service over at Holy Trinity Penn at 6 p.m, which will be followed, I believe, by mince pies and refreshments, so do come along. Next weekend, we have everything happening, because Sunday is Christmas Eve, and so it's Christmas Eve and the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the midnight service, and then all of the goodness that happens on Christmas Day. And you'll find all of the information about those services, from crib services to midnight services to the Sunday mornings to Monday mornings, all in your pew sheets or on the website. Please do come along to what you can. It would be lovely to be able to welcome you there. And bring along others if you are able. Invite them to share with us in the Christmas story. And the other reason why I have asked you to sort of sit down rather than dashing on into the rest of the service is I just want to take a moment to say a very big thank you to David for his sermon. Because I think that David has really hit the nail on the head today. And often I get to compliment him privately afterwards. But I just wanted to say a big thank you, David, for your sermon this morning. And I don't know whether you noticed, but as he was talking, he talked about moments from Isaiah, moments from Acts, moments from the Sermon on the Mount, moments from Revelation, and other parts of the Bible. And we were talking beforehand about how I heard yesterday that if you come to church every Sunday for Holy Communion, for 3 years, the whole cycle of the lectionary that we follow here in the Church of England, at the end of that time, you will have heard in the Bible readings just under 20% of the Bible. If you were to come every day for Holy Communion, which we don't actually offer here, but if you were to find a communion service every day and listen to all of the readings at those, after 3 years, you would have heard just less than a quarter of the Bible. If you come to morning and evening prayer, you get to hear much more, but still not quite everything. One of the best things that we can do as we reflect on exploring the Christmas story is reflect on the words of the Bible that are in here, which give us so much more meaning and layers of nuance to everything that we're reading and thinking about here on Sunday. Everything that's in here has shaped everything that David has been saying to us this morning. So I encourage you afresh this Christmas time, as we reflect on the Christmas story, don't forget the book which has all of the other stories in it as well. Moments of history, moments of prophecy, moments of poetry, moments of hope and meaning. And if you're struggling to find someone a Christmas present, you could always get them socks. But I would suggest a Bible, perhaps. Doesn't matter which translation, I always say the best translation of a Bible to have is the one that you will actually sit down and read. So I just offer that as food for thought. And I say again, thank you so much for everything you have said, David. You are quite right. Our first and foremost issue today It's witnessing to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, who has come into the world to be the light that the darkness cannot overcome, who has come to give us peace such as the world cannot give. Remembering that peace, I invite you now to stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our next hymn is
72.
Number 72.
Come, let us sing of a wonderful love.
Service continues on page 7. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup. We thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith with thanksgiving. Would you please be seated? We give you thanks, O Lord, for these heavenly gifts. Kindle in us the fire of your Spirit, but when your Christ comes again, we may shine as lights before his face, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Whilst we have been in here listening to the scriptures and being encouraged by David, Tiger Club have been out elsewhere and look to have been very creative. May I ask what has been happening in Tiger Club today? Well, let's see if we can get you stood. Stand the other way around so everyone can see. So David was telling us that we remember that Jesus is shining like the morning star, and we seem to have the same theme here with these lights. What's happening with the lights?
So we did it about John today. And how to baptize people.
No.
Did we?
Oh, yeah.
And then we showed how God brings light to the world.
Brilliant. So they've focused on the story of John and about how God is bringing light into the world, and they've written lots of different ways and put it all here together. That is great. I think we're going to have to put that up somewhere. Thank you so much for holding that. Can we just... That would be great, I think, yes. Let's give them a round of applause. Wait just a minute. Wait here just a moment. So let's pray for Tiger Club. Lord, we thank you for bringing a light in dark places. And we thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you make us into lights as well. We pray especially for Tiger Club and ask that each of them will be a light to all their friends and family this Christmas time. You will encourage them in all that they do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. Let's give them a round of applause once again. Thank you, everybody. So on that note, let us stand and sing with joyful hearts, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord," number 520.
Thank you.
Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you. Scatter the darkness from before your path and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and all those whom you love, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.